All right, folks, sit back, relax, get your favorite libation, your favorite snack. Geocaching Podcast is coming at you right about, right about now.
You want to know how to find it. Seek it out when they hide it. You know it's in the bag when it's an easy grab. But come on, take a chance now. So go, 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 geocache, geocache. And if you need help, we're right there in a flash. If you got a question, just call in and ask. Uncover the stash. On the Geocaching Podcast. The Geocaching Podcast.
Welcome to the Geocaching Podcast, episode 514, recorded live on November 1st, 2017. I'm your host, Head Hard Hat, with
Scott Burks,
Test 427, and
Info Ferret.
You can join our chat room and watch our live video stream, plus participate with us as we record this episode. All this and more can be found at www.geocachingpodcast.com/live. Be sure to contact us via our voicemail line at 630-31-VOICE. And also find us on Twitter at geocachingpodcast.com/Twitter and Facebook at geocachingpodcast.com/Facebook. This episode is sponsored by our good patrons of the Geocaching Podcast. To become a contributing patron, simply click on the Patreon logo on our webpage to help keep our podcast going. From all of us at the Geocaching Podcast, we thank you. And that's what I get for drinking all that corn, you know, cough syrup. I almost said corn syrup. That was last night. So, yeah, how's it going, folks? I'm. You can tell when I'm not feeling well because I start sounding like Barry White. So that's how that's going. So, yeah, it's been interesting. I am fighting a cold. And fighting a cold front. It got cold here in Michigan. That's who I blame. But here in North Carolina, we got down in the 30s at night, and into the almost, I think, the upper 50s for a couple of days as well. So it's been, we had to put jackets on. I mean, not hoodies. We had to actually put jackets on. That's at least till the sun came out.
You have jackets?
We do. Yeah. We keep them in the back part of the closet. But, yeah, we had to go dig those out for a couple of days. And so now, thanks to Michigan and whoever brought the cold front through the entire country, now I got the cold.
Yeah, we got a cold front rolling through here. We dropped down into the 60s and in a couple of days this week, starting Friday, the highs are going to be in the mid 50s with possibilities of actually seeing 100% chance of rain all weekend. Yay, go. So this is going to be fun for the Geocaching International Film Festival.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Matter of fact, my brother in Gaylord, Halloween Day yesterday, inch and a half of snow. So, yeah, it could be worse.
Right. Yeah. It could be worse. Yeah, yeah.
We're just to make you guys jealous, it's t-shirt weather here.
Is it really?
Beautiful blue stuff.
You finally caught up.
No. We've been promised an awesome summer this year, which is pretty good because we didn't have one last year.
Well, last year we had hurricanes and earthquakes and plague and hobbits, and I'm just saying.
All right, we only hit, what, four Category 4s hit the U.S. this year?
Yeah, really.
Or three.
Three. Yeah, don't overdo it.
But Category 4s, yeah, don't overdo it. So, it was a record-breaking season.
Yeah, it was.
For a number of Cat 4s to hit the U.S.
And if people are keeping score, today is November 1st, which means that the hurricane season is officially over. So, yay. Until next year. Mr. Scott, how are you doing? I heard you aren't all that well yourself, sir. And that's
I've been sick. Yeah, I was sick over the weekend. Horrible cold. Just really kicked the crap out of me.
Yeah.
Friday night, I felt it coming all day at work on Friday, and this by 5 o'clock, it was in full glory.
So, now, are we talking CPAC yet, or?
No, just a nasty cold. I slept all day Saturday and Sunday. I got up to go to to go to a geocaching event, and that's about it. Home, but got the whole event sick, and then came home.
Oh, spreading the love.
Yes,
that's about all I did over the weekend.
Wow, Mr. Taz.
I'm playing the back went out on me card.
I was
kind of recovering, so the last few days at work, I'm like, I need a better ergo chair, even though I got a really, really nice one. I need an ergo chair that gives me a massage while I'm working.
Oh, yeah, now you're talking. You know, if they're going to spend
I don't think they're going to pay for that.
$900 for those ergo chairs at some of these offices and that, I think they should throw in the extra $20 and get the massager. I mean, that's if you're going to do it right. Okay, so that's 3 for 3, Sarah. How are you doing in New Zealand?
Well, I haven't got a cold. I'm beginning to wonder if hay fever season's about to start.
Oh, you poor girl.
Yeah, but it's been, despite beautiful weather, there's been lots of needing to tidy up the house and garden to make it look as if we actually do some occasionally before my parents fly in. Well, actually, they land tomorrow. So limited caching time. But despite that, I drove up with a friend to an event cache that was about an hour and a half up the coast. It was in the evening, and I don't know where they got their terrain, their DT rating from, but I'm not going to quibble because it filled very nicely a little gap that I have. So I'm now down to just two empty slots.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. But I'd also managed over the week to avenge 3 DNFs without adding any more grumpy blue faces to the map, which is a miracle in itself. And I've still got that hot, nagging half dozen earth caches to write up from the UK visit. So that's my... that's my target for this week, but at least the French ones are done.
Yeah. Now Sarah did mention this, and I don't think the guys picked up on the opportunity of some heckling for at least several months, but Sarah's parents are flying in for the summer, mm-hmm. which gives some credence for heckling for what happened that week with the parents for at least a couple of months.
This week's story is that my mum and dad, they come out with a couple of suitcases of gear, and they're coming through the Emirates, so through Dubai, and the X-ray scanner at customs picked up the fact that my dad had his bow in his suitcase.
Your dad's bringing a bow?
Yeah, so no arrows with it. But so there's large arguments of why you're bringing in a potentially offensive weapon into UAE. And eventually they got it through. So I'm waiting to hear, will they get it through Aussie or let alone into
you? Why does he have a bow with him? Just out of curiosity.
Yeah, he does archery.
To shoot things.
It's New Zealand. Yeah. Come on, don't you know Xena? I mean, come on. That's all they used.
So are we talking longbow, compound bow, recurve bow? What are we talking here?
The one with a string.
Composite.
Okay.
Ooh. Going back to my childhood and sort of running around the back streets playing Robin Hood or Cowboys and Indians.
Is he going hunt? Is he a hunter?
No. Oh, God, no. At Waikanae, about an hour up the coast, there's a field archery club. So they wander around and shoot targets and occasionally shoot sort of polystyrene animal shapes and things like that.
Okay.
Ogres and trolls and things like that.
No, he doesn't go bow hunting.
He have to bring his own bow? I mean, is there...
You don't want to borrow... You don't want to rent a bow. I mean, you got the draw length, the
setting the sights.
The weight. There's a number of things that you want the bow set up for you.
Yeah.
Okay, Robin Hood.
The club does have a few generic ones available to borrow, but you do get... But to buy them in New Zealand is extortionate. So
yeah, I mean it's like bowling. If you rent shoes, the quality of the shoe that you get is kind of the same thing with bows when you rent them. Okay. It's well, the weighting system alone will blow it up.
Yeah. Haven't picked up a bow.
Skis, the very poor wax job on the rented skis and
oh yeah, all the fun. All right, let's move on to the podcast roundup, letting our viewers know what's going on in the geocaching podcasting community and what's coming up this week on GeoGearheads. To surprise, Mr. Burks isn't going to be on it, but Head Hard Head is. Tomorrow is going to be GeoGearheads.
Pack wrestling.
That's it. 305 episode, random something, something, LX11.
62.
Thank you. I think they should either go to regular numbers by now or just forget it. Yes, it's a randomized show. We get it.
They just like messing with you, Andy. That's all they, you know, it's for.
That's what it is, just to see me go, I don't know. So, yeah, I'm going to be out tomorrow. They got a whole bunch of stuff to go over, and we're going to have a lot of fun. So hopefully my voice will hold out by then. And even just before that, since we're down to the half-hour show now for GeoSnippets Reboot Podcast tomorrow, wife Amy and I, among other things, will be discussing different types of geocaches and their sizes. So kind of a tutorial show tomorrow for the GeoSnippets Reboot Podcast. So, yes, I finally...
Are you calling that the size matter, or is it what you do with it?
Exactly. Exactly. That's more true than you ever will know with geocaching. So, yeah, that'll be tomorrow on GeoSnippets Reboot Podcast. Please consider becoming a patron for our show. We really do appreciate it. I literally paid some of the large bills that come in at the end of the year when it comes for podcast, all the one things for hosting and for the actual websites and that. So we're broke, I'm just saying. So if you can be a patron, we'd greatly appreciate it and throw us a couple bucks each month. It allows us to keep doing the show, and that way we can keep giving you all the geocaching fun that we do each and every week when we do the shows. I'm just saying. All right, let's move on to Mr. Burks. Are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
All right, let's do this.
I got mail! Yay! I got mail! Yay!
Yay! Okay. I have two. Actually, correct? Am I correct here?
Uh-huh.
Two? Really?
Yep.
Okay. First one is, hello, geocaching podcasters. It is good to see that the podcast has returned after being in hiatus. InfoFerret seems to have had quite a time traveling in Europe, and I too am surprised at the amount of vacation time she earns. Hopefully the smoke from the California wine country fires, wine county fires is no longer an issue for Taz. One day I walked out of a building and the smell of that smoke was instantly noticeable, even though I would have had to drive for a few hours to reach the area. I hope to see you again soon, but don't let the show stress any of you out. Steven, who is geocaching Steven W54.
Excellent. All right, we got something else, too.
That's all we're going to say about that? Nothing else on that, huh? No response on that one? All right.
Well, a lot of the Cal Fires have died down. There's only a couple, and they're contained. So
they're contained.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So well, they're basically means they're 100% surrounded, and they did the small burn off so that it can't escape that area. So they're 100% contained. There might be still some localized fire inside the zone, but the zone is contained.
And how far is that from you, Ted?
There's only a couple in the wine country. It's about maybe 90 miles by air.
For you?
For me.
90 miles, miles by air? Is that what you said?
But, you know, as you know, straight line. There were 14 wildfires within a 100-mile radius of me.
Yeah.
About, like 3 weeks ago.
Wow.
Did you smell it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I had to take a couple of days off work because, you know, the smoke plus the amount of what do you call those things? Give you hay fever and stuff.
Pollen
and other things ejected into the air, you know.
Mm-hmm. Particulates.
Yeah. So... Yeah, I was, my sinuses were going off and I had a migraine for 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
Not fun.
No.
Not fun.
No. So while you were sitting at home, did you wear a dress or did you just like, were you in your, you know, skivvies?
Did you say, was he in a dress?
T-shirt and shorts, okay?
All right, I'm
hello!
I'm not my father. I don't sit around in my skivvies.
In his moo-moo. In his moo-moo.
Next up. Hi, guys. So glad you guys are back. I've missed you. I was listening to this week's show. He didn't put show. I ad-libbed that in. And heard Chad talking about the new GeoChecker. He had a complaint and also a point about challenge caches. His complaint was about the format of the checker and not being able to easily copy and paste into the personal notes section. He is right, and this is annoying. However, when you get a positive answer from the checker, it updates the air quote corrected coordinates on the page, the equivalent of hitting the little pencil next to the coordinates. It's not a perfect solution, but you can easily copy these and paste them into your personal note. The other comment he made was about how it would be nice if there were some marker for challenge caches or other caches that perhaps are air quote mystery, but are at the posted coordinates, field puzzles, for example. He talked about changing a number by one small digit, and that can certainly work. However, I found you don't have to change it at all. If you copy the posted coordinates and save them as air quote corrected coordinates by clicking the little pencil, it will look to the geocaching site like they are corrected. They will be displayed as corrected on the page in italics, and more importantly, show the new corrected icon on the map, both online and in the Groundspeak app. I've been working on a mystery cache streak for a bit and found this was invaluable in keeping track of the ones that were ready to go. It's an easy way to see them when you're scouting the map. Hope that helps. Keep up the fun shows. Matt, who's GeoMonkey Tiger.
All right, wait, there you go. Tiger,
yeah. That must be a feature that they kind of slid in there sometime after being able to edit, which, you know, that was several years ago, because I tried to do that and paste in the original coordinates. And in the past, it would not show it as a corrected coordinate.
Yeah.
But somewhere in time, they corrected that. And
that's a movie, isn't it?
Yeah. Christopher Reeve.
Yeah, Mackinac Island.
Sure. Sorry, Taz. Go ahead.
And I have to point out another thing. I did have a complaint in the past about the notes section being way too short and stuff. They've recently corrected that. Probably I noticed it about 2 or 3 months ago, and now you've got a lot of space to dump all your notes in there.
All right.
And so just so I'm making sure I'm understanding this correctly, Taz, this email, I want to make sure everybody understands.
Yes.
So basically, if you take the final chords, which are where they are, obviously,
right,
mm-hmm. and you copy those and you paste them into the corrected chord thing, it will now show it as a corrected chord.
As a corrected chord. So it doesn't, as long as it's a valid chord, whatever you put in there, it will show it as a corrected chord.
So why would you do that? Explain to me again why you would do that.
For things like challenge caches, and you want to mark you. So when you're looking on your phone, you don't want to go after puzzles that you haven't solved. When you're just looking on your phone and you want to say, "Hey, what's around here that I've got?" If it's a puzzle and you're moving down the road, and it's like, okay, I'm not going to go after that because I don't have it solved. Well, for challenge caches, you didn't have a way to kind of mark it as being solved before.
Well, why would you solve a challenge cache? You mean you have it met?
You wouldn't, but so you don't have to go through and click on every mystery to see is this a challenge or is this something that I haven't solved?
Well, you would if it had its own icon.
True,
it's something I've had a couple of.
You know, I hate it when it sounds right. I really hate it when he sounds right.
There are also field puzzles, and you would, you know, they indicate that, hey, go there,
yeah,
try it out.
Field puzzle. Why would I put corrected coordinates? Why would I put? I hadn't solved anything yet. Why would I put solved coordinates?
So when I look on a map, when I'm in an area, do I want to go after it or not? It's as simple as that.
So you're saying like, hey, I know I could solve this. This is an easy one. This is a quick easy one.
And forgotten that we've only got the originals in, not the solved coordinates. And you're thinking, why am I looking at the middle of this field? There's nothing there.
Yeah.
And then you realize.
Was this not the same thing?
A mile or so elsewhere.
was this not the same problem that they were having with the scuba diving icon? Because people were marking the stuff with the scuba diving icon just so that they know, you know, for whatever reason they want to go to do it, that it's there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, there was something that specifically that they were marking it with a scuba diving icon for that was not scuba related, but it was a specific thing that they didn't have another icon for. So they kind of adopted the scuba icon.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so there you go.
Or attribute.
Who knew?
Well, how about that? Who knew?
Who knew you could do that? Never knew you could do that.
Yeah. All right.
Way to go, Ted.
Way to go. So All right.
In your somebody one-upping you, they actually solved the problem.
Yep. Thumbs up.
That's a thumbs up for anybody who does.
Well, it's good things. They do.
At least it was a thumb.
What's here?
Yeah, you know, and I want to give them, you know, I want to give geocaching.com thumbs up when I can too. But I want to point out any deficiencies so that they keep on improving. And also, if I get corrected, more power to them, because when I'm getting corrected, that means there's something that's even better.
Yeah, they're listening. I love it when they listen.
Good. That's good to know. I thought of doing that. That's actually very good to know.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to the news.
In the news, Message Center now accepts additional file types. There are many good reasons to make use of the Message Center because there is so much to talk about when it comes to geocaching. It's a great way to plan geocaching outings with your friends, a good way to ask for a friend for suggestions about the best caches in your area. You can get a hint from the cache owner for an especially tricky hide or puzzle. And because the Message Center is available in the geocaching app, you can submit your answers for virtuals and earth caches right in the field. We know that geocaching is better when players communicate with each other, so we want to make it that easier. The challenge, after all, should be in the adventure and not in the tools that you use. That's why we took some time to update and improve the Message Center. With the latest update, you can now lose your page where you were in the show notes.
And the file types, PDFs, docs, or docx's, but not from the geocaching app if it's a docx. Currently, in addition to images to other geocaches, we also cleaned up the look to make it all about the content. If you like even less clutter, you can clean up your inbox by hiding any message. Oh. We added the ability to forward all messages to email. By toggling this setting on, messages you create in the Message Center on geocaching.com and in the app will also be forwarded automatically to your email. Forwarding messages to your email makes searching for previous messages much easier. And I'm trying to do... To enable email forwarding, select the Settings button in Message Center and check the forward messages in each mailbox. Additionally, we made the Message Center a lot more reliable by fixing several bugs. There had been some irregularities with messages being displayed as unread that were read, and conversations out of order. These have all been addressed with this release. Now you can concentrate on the content of your messages rather than the bugs. Let your friends know about the updated Message Center by writing them a message right now.
Wow.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm glad they fixed some of those bugs. Yeah, some of those bugs were starting to annoy me a bit, but you know, I'm glad that they also updated it to include other types of files. I mean, they added image file types. Was it about a year ago? So that was nice when they did that. But yeah, keep on improving things.
Yeah.
Yeah, what's nice about the Message Center, I've noticed, is that
delays in sending messages.
Oh, see,
I've noticed that it's a lot faster. I noticed, like, when I, like...
It seems to be a couple of hours before it gets to the person that it's meant to get to.
Oh, that's because it's going from New Zealand.
I was just going to say that.
Back to New Zealand.
Yeah, I've noticed that when I'm at caches and I can't find something, if I send them a quick message rather than an email, it's... I mean, I get a response real quick.
Yeah.
From certain caches,
Yep.
It's great you can now submit your Earth caches and all that information that way, but... That doesn't get over the problem with when I'm out in the field trying to type in information onto a little bitty tiny phone screen and No, I'm not doing that. I'll wait till I get home and I think about them.
I still use the message center, but I do it from home on a laptop.
Yeah. I tend not to use it on the phone because it's
my I might take some small amount of notes. I take some small amount of notes on the phone so that I remember things.
Well, there you go. Good stuff. Mm. All right, let's move on to episode 514, which, of course, is our Cash or Coffee. And I find it sad that my snow, frosty, merry Christmas, holy, jolly, fa-la-la-la-la mug is now back in season. Halloween's over with, so I'm just saying.
Okay.
Back into the holidays.
You use a Christmas mug all year round? Is that what you're saying?
Sometimes. Sometimes. It's just... Just, you know, whatever one's clean. So anyways, with the Cash or Coffee, we basically have carte blanche to go out and talk just about anything geocaching or even non-geocaching related. And tonight we've got a whole bunch of stuff going on. I kind of came up with a discussion point for the rest of the guys here. And so put your thinking cap, guys, on, and this is for you guys. Okay, what is the single most revolutionary person, experience, or thing you have witnessed within the history of you geocaching?
Wait, one more time. What was that? What's the
single most revolutionary, wow, holy cow, person, experience, or thing that you have witnessed within your history of geocaching? What's the most revolutionary thing that just changed the game?
The geocaching app.
Really?
For me, CGO. It is a geocaching app, but yeah, CGO specifically.
Wow.
Yeah, to me it was
a CGO fan.
In 2009 it was when the app came out, I can't remember. I was caching for about almost a year and a half, almost 2 years before the app came out. So I was doing it literally the old school way.
Right.
You know?
And for the ones that don't know what old school mean, old, and this is my revolutionary thing for it, is not having to print out reams of paper
to go out
geocaching and using, well, for me, it could have been a PDA. It could have been the app or a app on a PDA, which I think I actually had before I actually went to the ones on the phones. But what was it? Cashmate, I think, was one of the ones that I had.
Cashmate, totally. Wow,
oh, yeah, way back in the time machine.
I used the, hold on, I still have it on my phone.
Just do you really?
I do. The first one I ever used was Gopher Light. Gopher Light is the first one I ever used.
That was the first joke. I mean, that was magical because I would literally, back then, if you went.
The light, it's the light, because a lot of those things already established.
Yep.
Yeah, by the time you got there,
But for us, it's like I had to print out, if you got two dozen geocaches, that was huge in a day. Because you had to print them out. You had to print out the cache pages. By the way, on the cache pages, Chad, you can actually tell how many logs you want to print when you printed out the cache pages.
Let me see. 0, 5, or 10.
So
I remember when 6 icons in a day was virtually impossible.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, literally. Virtually impossible. Yep. Well, but you printed out ream after ream of paper just to go out, let alone printing out your map quest to figure out which way was going to where you're going. So, yeah, the apps, I mean, holy cow, you could have all these geocaches in your hand and read them out. That was just magical.
Mm-hmm. To me, that was it. Sarah? Yeah.
Well, I can say I still say that if I know I'm going to be out doing earth caches or some of the long convoluted multis, I do still print selected bits of that out because trying to read all the detail off a little phone screen in bright light, especially if the page hasn't been set up very well, so you're sort of trying to read dark blue on black on your phone screen, does not isn't always obvious. So that's why I will still print some selected bits out. No, I don't print all the logs. No, I don't print. It's just sort of a cut and paste of the key bits of text.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I do that on occasion, and especially when if I'm going on vacation and I've got 40 earth caches and I'm wanting to hit, I'm printing a ream. I'm sorry. I'm killing the tree.
But at least it wasn't like the bad days. I mean, I even remember going through and the process that you would take for my Garmin GPS for my car just to get on the SD card. The different processes of things that you had to go through, either through cable or whatever, to the internal stuff that you had to configure and all the rest of the stuff. Now it's all click, boom, then you're there.
Oh, yeah. It's a lot easier now.
Oh, yeah. My parents swearing at the GPS and arguing as to which one of them has programmed it wrong.
I remember the first time I ever got 100 caches was one of the hardest things I've ever done. Uh-huh. I mean, I've done 100 caches in a day dozens of times since. You know, and it was, and it's been absorbently easy.
Bragger.
You know, I'm not bragging. It's just the first time I did it was 2009. Okay, and it was very difficult. Mm-hmm. Very, it took me 17 hours to do.
Oh yeah,
yeah. I can understand that. Yeah.
Now I just did it a couple of months ago, and it took me an hour and a half.
Yeah, there was no such thing as geo trails or anything.
No geo trails. No, not, and it's next. Yeah. You know, just boom, boom, booms. It's very different, very different game than it was.
Yeah.
I think one of the sort of game changers for me was the first time I qualified for and found a fairly complex challenge cache.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
That was quite an eye-opener.
Just being able to do stuff like that.
You've got to do. And,
crap, I've done.
Another one for me is when I found my first lamppost. I was like, that's why I kept doing all those.
Yeah.
Oh, that's, I bet it was there.
No, for me, it was the little, the guard that looks like a light switch that was magnetic.
The faceplate.
Faceplates. Yeah. That was my first one because it moved.
Mine was the letters, you know, the magnetic strip of letters with the paper taped to the back so that it goes on there. Sure, and until your hand actually goes across it that first time, you're like,
that's a magnet.
That spells blah, blah, blah. That's cool.
Yeah, that's funny because I still get emails about people, like, you could tell, like, the kids. And the kids first hide, and they're like, you know, it's an LPC, and they're like, that's the coolest thing ever.
Yeah, it's great when you have your first 20 finds. Everything was magical.
My first LPC was like, you know, it's like, I didn't know these things could do that. This is awesome. You know, by the time you get your 100, it's like,
back in there. Didn't know there was that many pill bottles out there.
My first fence post.
That thing. Oh, yeah.
Fence post. I was there for about 2 hours before I freaking found that thing. I'm like,
you talking like the
cap? The cap.
Yep.
Oh, my gosh.
Good old days.
That was it. All right, Scott, how much stuff? What do you have for tonight?
I have tonight. First thing I want to do is our good friend Joshua, the geocaching vlogger.
Hello, his Joshua. 40th
birthday.
40.
He just turned 40 over
the weekend. Happy birthday, Joshua.
So I'm going to
happy birthday, young sir.
So I think we should call him and and wish him a happy birthday. So
I think we should.
I he does not know I'm calling him. I don't even know if he'll pick up because it's an hour later there. So. He might be sleeping.
Or doing other things. He could be studying or something.
Let's see if you guys can hear this.
All right.
Hold on.
Well, my lad turned 22 last
year. Yes, we can hear it.
Okay. Let's see if he picks up the phone. He might not.
He's probably listening to us.
He's like, I'm not answering.
No, he's not going to answer the phone.
You can reach Joshua Johnson, retreat manager and director with you.
Well, let's not tell me where.
All right.
Shoot. I tried to call you Joshua. Sorry. Yeah,
that would have been funny.
Maybe he'll call me back. He doesn't know. Although he should know I'm doing the show right now.
So. Yeah, so I was going to say. Well,
meanwhile, my question to everybody was, what did you do? This has been sitting in my inbox for months. Okay.
I forgot
what
about
did
it.
What do you do with your Mary Hyde code?
I forgot about it.
It's still sitting in my inbox.
Mine too.
The email's sitting in my inbox right now.
I have not touched it. It's been sitting there under 5,000 other ads that I get every day.
Yeah, it's at the bottom of the email list, but it's still there.
I don't know. It was a tracking code that you got, right?
Yeah.
You need a tracking code.
Yeah, you can put out a trackable.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah,
none of us did anything. Sarah, did you get one?
What?
Did you get a Did you get a Mary Hyde code?
Yes, I did. And have I done anything with it? No.
Ah, see? It's kind of like coupons.
Some people love trackables. That's great. And
people pay top dollar for these things.
For me,
so at least $5.
I'm happy to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So effectively, it's worth the stack of about 20 geocoins and travel bugs that I haven't activated either.
No, I completely forgot about it.
None of us have anything with that thing.
No, but it's on my list.
I have it. It's sitting in my inbox.
Wow. I wonder how many other people have actually done that. So if they gave out 10,000 codes and they had to pre-make them, so I'm sure there was some kind of cost involved.
Right. But the question is, will
the cost of them is server space. Yeah. You're talking not very much amount of data here.
Well, that's true. If they come up with their own code numbers, they can do whatever they want.
Right. I mean, they're profiting on that $4 that they sell that code for, they're profiting $3.99.
So yes. Yeah,
this has been staying in my inbox since August 20th.
Yeah, and like 5 people have put one out probably. So if you have put out one, we want to find out.
I haven't even activated mine yet.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, wow,
that's terrible.
Wow.
Yeah, not even activated, just sitting there. Yeah. What are you gonna do? So, okay, so nobody's done anything. That's good. At least I'm in good company.
You're in great company. Taz, you got anything? I didn't see anything in the notes, but I just figured I'd ask.
Circle back to me. I'll try to think of something.
All right. So while Taz's thinking of that, Sarah's got, like, lots of stuff.
Well, I've got one.
Okay, that's good.
It's sort of a generic question, really. When you're going out on a longer road trip. I mean, I'm not counting, hey, there's this new one published, should we dash out and find it with a couple of other people. How do you split the cost?
Oh, that's a great question.
Well, how do you
equal shares, driver has the running cost of the car, so the passengers buy petrol or lunch or coffee or something, or what do you do if somebody else just joins the group for the day or part of it? I'm just sort of interested.
That's excellent because nobody wants to get stuck with the check, and that I think when geocaching with multiple people, I think that is a good division. Somebody goes out and pays a decent share for the gas. If somebody else got all the. Somebody got the water, somebody got the other snacks and stuff, then I'm going to pick up the check for lunch, you know, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Long distance ones. We definitely split it up. Short distance ones. We're kind of like going round robin.
Wait, put it on hold.
So it's like everyone.
Guys.
Hmm? Yep.
Put it on hold. I got Joshua here. All right.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
What are you doing?
Well, it's going to turn into one of those calls.
Like, oh my gosh, the geocaching podcast is on right now. And so I went on YouTube and I reversed the video to see why you were calling me.
Look at you. Like,
they're ambushing me.
Oh, wait, I did. Just for full disclosure, you are live right now on the show.
Yes.
Hey, everybody. Hello, geocaching universe.
Joshua.
Can you only hear me? Can you hear them at all? I don't think you can.
I can't hear anybody else but you.
Okay, he can only hear me. So
we're not saying anything.
Telling them we're singing them dirty birthday lyrics.
Cool, thank you.
Go on, then.
They're singing you dirty birthday songs is what they're saying.
Oh, great.
How was your birthday?
It was great.
Yeah.
I went to the Iowa Hawkeye and Minnesota Gopher football game.
Nice.
In Iowa City.
Nice.
And my team won, so that's all good. Oh, found a geocache right outside the stadium, of course.
Uh-huh.
Birthday geocache.
Good.
And, yeah, it was a good time.
Okay. Good.
Well, tell him what he feels like being four decades old.
How does it feel being 40?
I feel officially middle aged.
Are you going to buy a Corvette soon? Is that what you're
going to do? Yeah, no. No, actually, I feel great. I don't feel 40 at all.
Oh, good.
It's all attitude, right?
I woke up on my 40th birthday and my back hurt. You've got to be kidding me. You've got to be kidding me. This is not happening.
I know. I do. I think I do make more old man noises when I bend over.
There you go. It only gets worse.
Pick a number you like. Just change the base you count in.
No, happy birthday. We just wanted to come wish you a happy, happy birthday.
Oh, thank you. That was really nice to think
of. No, of course. You're all Joshua. Right. We love you.
All right. Catch on, people.
All right. Back to the show. We'll talk to you.
Bye.
Be good.
Awesome. That was awesome.
Joshua.
That's great. Yeah. If you haven't ever checked in with, you've been under a rock, but Joshua, the geocaching vlogger, check out his site on YouTube. And,
Come on. Nobody knows Joshua.
Yeah. I'm just saying for the three that don't, go check him out. And,
all right, Tez, sorry, you were talking. I'm sorry for interrupting you.
Yeah, no problem. I was saying that, you know, for short trips that I'm like doing around town with friends, we're usually rotating cars, so we don't like throw in gas money, but long trips definitely throw in some gas money, share the expenses and everything. And I've gone out to big mega events with friends and stuff where, you know, one picks up the car, the other one picks up the hotel, one picks up this, that, and it kind of all works out in the end.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I used to do. I mean, now I go usually with Jesse, but before Jesse, it was one person picked up the passenger picked up the hotel, and the driver picked up food and the car.
Yeah.
So food and gas. And that usually ended up pretty close, you know.
Right.
Three meals, you know, for two people and then gas.
Oh, yeah.
You know, usually evened out, but that's not me and Jesse just... Same, you know, same pot. So,
yeah, you don't get the luxuries when it's just you and your spouse.
Yes,
I tend to do different things with different people. It's just what they feel comfortable with and what seems to work for us. And there's one person I go, if we're doing a numbers run or a long day, usually whoever's driving picks up the car running costs. And whoever's passenging picks up the fuel. Somebody else, it's driver picks up a lot, and the other one buys lunch. And it's almost sort of easier when it's a remote trip and you're picking up a rental car and accommodation and all the rest, and it's just equal splits.
Yep, mm-hmm. Yep.
But I'm still waiting to hear how much I owe for the trip down to Oamaru a couple of weeks back.
Oamaru.
South Island, steampunks, penguins.
Ah, penguins
fantastic
and steampunks.
It should have been a mega, and I'm still grumpy it wasn't.
I'm still trying to get over steampunk and penguins.
Don't know what you've never seen.
Together?
I was going to say, you know, the little glasses on, it's great.
That's like a penguin with a thing on
it. Yeah. Wow, good stuff. Okay, Taz.
Life of the water, it's jet.
All right, Mr. Taz.
So mine is, you know, what's your favorite geocaching experience? It could be an event, a trip, a geocaching trail, a specific geocache. You know, what is your favorite experience so far?
That's like saying pick your favorite kid.
Yeah.
I mean, there are so many.
I can
many.
Pick my kid easier than I can pick my favorite geocache.
Well, I'm not saying specific geocache, but, you know, like I said, it could be a trip, a specific geocaching trip. It could be a specific event. It could be a power trail.
Yeah, I'll start. I have to admit with Amy, it's a lot. I mean, not to knock all the different things that I did with my daughter all these years, because there's tons of experiences where we were making geo snippets and all the rest of that stuff. Definitely some of my favorites. But my favorite event has to be a couple years ago to going caching. We took a nice. It's from here to Georgia. It's about 8-9 hours, so it's not terrible as far as driving wise, and just. Going there and experiencing 4 days of stuff. If you ever go to going caching, It's not a one-day event. It's literally 3 or 4 days. How many? There's more if you want. It was just so pleasantly done and so well done, and we just enjoyed being in each other's company while we're going through this whole experience. Plus the really cool Doctor Who geocoin. I'm just saying, the TARDIS. I mean, that was just the icing on the cake. Having to learn all the fun stuff about Galilean and all the rest of it for figuring stuff out. It was just an amazing event. It was something that was so memorable. I'm never going to forget.
Mm-hmm. Because you're with your daughter, or because
just no, this that? This was actually with Amy this time. So it was kind of a getaway.
Oh, thing. I'm sorry. I apologize.
Yeah, no, that's all right. It was just amazing. Just a nice getaway, 4 days to have fun and do geocaching.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough. Sarah?
I mean, for me, there's just been so many different things. It's hard to pick one. But I think a really fun one was a couple of years back where one guy had a come and climb, walk up to this viewing point and watch the sunrise. So I had to get up. Because this was our summer, I had to get up at something like 3:30 to drive an hour up to the start of the trail, and sort of going up by torchlight to get up to this point by 5:45, which is when the sunrise was. And then sort of chatting around for a bit with a load of other like-minded maniacs and going and exploring and picking up about a dozen caches in that area, just because we were up there.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, and the sunrise was memorable. I take it.
The sunrise, it was a good sunrise. It wasn't a spectacular one, but it was the fact that I'd been crazy enough to drag my backside out of bed at an ungodly time. Or the one that was this year was picking up a friend. Again, on these crazy road trips at 7:00 in the morning to drive for 2 to 3 hours for a Sito and then a walk up the hill to Ruhine Hut and the event there. And that was the occasion where I was officially slower up the hill than a one-eyed chihuahua. I could.
You know, I got a cache. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, go on.
Oh, okay. I got a cache. I'm trying to look it up right now, and I can't remember the name of it for the life of me. It was in a cemetery.
Oh, I love those.
No. This was quite unbelievable. It was a cemetery in Tennessee, and what it was the Stations of the Cross in a cave, and in the cave was all like limestone. I think it was. Uh-huh. And it was the most unbelievable, and they were piping in this music, and it was one of the most unbelievable things. I bet you it was a virtual, that's what it was. I got to find the name of it for you guys. It was one of the most unbelievable things I've ever seen. I mean, me and Jesse were there for like 45 minutes just in awe, and I'm a Jew, but it was just incredible.
Was it in Memphis?
It was in Memphis. Yes, it was, sir.
Was it the Grotto?
The Grotto. It absolutely was. Yes,
Mustard Devil, yeah. I know the owner.
Oh, wow. Have you ever been there?
I haven't been there, but Mustard Devil lives in Houston now, so I've cached with him a number of times.
Yeah, wow. It's pretty amazing. I mean, it's got like 300, over 300, you know,
favorite points.
Yeah. Favorite points, yeah. It's absolutely amazing. The GC number, for anybody who wants to look it up, I'm sure somebody's got pictures on there of it, is GC9C, as in Carl, B as in boy, B as in boy. So GC9CBB. It is pretty astounding. It is, and pictures will not do it justice. And it's funny because I just, we just took that trip, a couple of years ago, and about 2 years ago, and it just came up in my time hop.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Pictures literally just came up in my time hop. We just did it, like, we were just there, you know, a couple weeks ago, 2 years ago. So it was cool to see those pictures again, you know,
I took.
But that was one of the things. Obviously, there's a tons of times in my 9 years I've been caching where I'm like, this is why I geocache. Another one, we're on the Appalachian Trail in Virginia.
Yeah.
and we were on the top of a mountain, and the view was breathtaking, you know, and, and I was like, this is why I do that. But this is one of those reasons, again, this, the grotto is another one of those reasons, this is why I do it, you know.
I'm going to have to put that on my list.
Unbelievable. Oh, God, you have to go to it.
Yep.
It is truly unbelievable. Yeah.
It actually takes me longer to get to Memphis than it does to get to Rome, Georgia.
And fun fact, like just across the cemetery street, you know, like inside the cemetery, there are little roads, you know, the other side of the grotto is Isaac Hayes's.
Oh, really?
Yeah. His, because it's funny because me and Jesse, we're sitting at the grotto and we're just talking and soaking it in. And there's a group of people are like down the way. I'm like, they're not burying somebody. The people just visiting him. All these people keep walking up to him. I'm like, somebody famous is over there.
Yeah.
So I walked up. And sure enough, it's Isaac Hayes.
Wow. Wow. That's awesome. Yeah. When I get a cold, I also start sounding like Isaac Hayes. So,
so that's one of the things. So that's one of the places. One of the many, but that's one of the main ones that always sticks in my head. And when someone brings up that question, I always... That always comes out of me, that the grotto is unbelievable.
Wow.
Yeah, it really is.
All right, Taz, put yourself on it.
You know, this is harder than what I originally thought because of all the memories of, you know, these different things brought up. I mean, there's, you know, great caches like the Necropolis of Victoria Manor. There's the Ape Cache down in Brazil, the one up in Seattle. Great mega events and stuff that I've gone to. But I think my favorite overall has to be View Karoo, which is a multi-cache in New Orleans, but it's up on top, so it's disabled or it's archived now, so you can't do it, unfortunately. But you know, basically the coordinates tell you to go talk to the it's out in front of a high-rise building, and they tell you to go talk to the lady at the desk. She kind of gives you grief, like, I don't know what you're talking about, blah, blah, blah. She, you know, this goes on for about 20 minutes. Then she calls down one of the maintenance guys. He takes you up to the maintenance room at the very top of the building. That's where the actual cash box is and stuff. And you can sign the log and trade it. And it's a huge box. It's about as big as the one at the Groundspeak headquarters, you know, pretty big box full of swag and trading and stuff. Then he takes you out on top of the roof of one of the highest buildings. I think it's the second highest building in New Orleans, and proceeds to give you an hour and a half tour from Sky Top, telling you about, pointing out and telling you about all kinds of different things in the history of New Orleans.
Wow. Now that's something.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Hmm.
And like you said, you know, like Scott very eloquently put, this is why we geocache.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's some stuff, you know, obviously stuff you'd never see.
I know, I've got a slight suggestion. When we do the Acacia Coffee, we bring in what's the best one we've found this month, or what's the wow factor?
Oh, sure.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, because I'll tell you what, you start going down memory lane, and just sitting here listening to you fine folks on that, and just running through my head all the different things and all the experiences, and it's like, wow, holy cow. You know, it's just amazing how all that stuff starts bubbling up again. You know, like Scott mentioned the 100 caches, and the first time that I did that, and it was the same thing. It was like 17 hours. We started 6 o'clock in the morning. We finished almost before midnight, and away you went. And that's how it is. So yeah, amazing stuff.
I've got one thing that made me laugh a couple of days ago. Which, remember when we all got excited because they're bringing back new virtuals? And I posed the question, if you were ever honored with one, where would you put it? And I found out about 3 days ago, when I answered it, I'd say I'd either put it up in Teesdale, which is obviously where some of the ancestors are from, or I'd have put it in Durham Cathedral, which is a World Heritage site, and sort of, if I had to say a spiritual sort of stand place, that would be mine. And somebody's done it. Somebody's on awesome. A guy called Tim Herring has read my mind, and there is one. About a month after I was there.
That's awesome.
So Yeah, that's just one of these things that great minds think alike.
Well, I said Wrigley, and there's not one at Wrigley. Yeah. I didn't put it there. Somebody else did.
That's awesome.
I got to see if the Indianapolis Motor Speedway got the got the one that I wanted to do.
Yeah, Wrigley, you got to take a picture with the iconic, you know.
Oh yeah,
walk on the Wrigley Field sign behind you.
Absolutely. All right, good stuff. All right, excellent show, folks. Good stuff, and we hope you find folks appreciated it as well. It's always fun going down memory lane when it comes to things like this, and boy, we got a lot of memories. All right, thank you, fine folks. Want to say thanks to Taz, Sarah, and Scott for everything that they do, and we want to thank you, fine folks, for stopping by each and every week and listening to us on the Geocaching Podcast. All right, let's close this puppy up. Please be sure to join us each and every Wednesday at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time for another episode of the Geocaching Podcast right here on the Geocaching Podcast website at www.geocachingpodcast.com/live. The video version of our show is available on YouTube, and the audio version is available on our home website, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and many of your favorite podcatchers. We love hearing our viewers and listeners, so please visit us through our social media sites or contact us via our voicemail line at 630-31-VOICE. The Geocaching Podcast is a Head Hard Hat production and is produced by Andy Smith, Scott Burks, Chad Courtney, and Sarah T.S. This show is copyright 2017 by Andrew T. Smith. All rights reserved.